Well, happy Father's Day. Welcome to Prayer of Faith. Well, I know Philip already said it, but we're going to do it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. I just want to see if you guys can feel it. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. What a great Father's Day. And I know Anna prayed today and prayed for those that don't have fathers. And we sing songs a lot of time to the fatherless among us. And I know that that's difficult. And I know that during Father's Day, there's fathers that may not have been great role models or even great or even present. And I know that there's people out there that never met their father. They may have died before they were born or before they were old enough, both old enough to know them. And for that, I say we have a Father in heaven that looks out after us. And I know that sounds very churchy to say, but I'm thankful to say we have a Father in heaven. Amen. And He adopts us and He accepts us. And I'm here to tell you, those that are step parents, foster parents, man, we have a God in heaven that does the same thing. And He accepts us and takes us in under His wing. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. It's an interesting Father's Day for me. Most of you know my father's been gone 29 years this month, actually. But even more so, I'm without children today. They're all gone. My wife is gone. And I thought, man. So there was a Father's Day 5K run downtown this morning. And they had awards for the most children going and most support team. I went as a group of one. I was my own support team. So yes, I've ran a 5K already this morning. So I feel a little hotter probably than you guys do already. I had a towel during practice and was just mopping that poor bald head of mine. But I say that to, number one, to say, hey, sometimes we got to do things on our own when our kids aren't here, when our parents aren't here. And God wants us to do these things as well sometimes when nobody's around. When nobody's around, sometimes we have to do things. And I've told you guys before, in the way of mission work, you don't always have to go in a group of 25 to a foreign country or even to another town. You can do mission work on your own in your own neighborhood, by yourself. You can do mission work in the schools by yourself through donation of time or effort or talent or whatever you have to offer them. That's mission work. And don't think for a second that God does not honor that and look for that and hope for that and pray for that. Well, our message today is actually going to be fairly brief and fairly simple. And before we get there, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2 today. And as you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want to read out of Proverbs. And I know Eric read this last year, and he's read it before. It may have been Mother's Day that he read it. But he said, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. That should be our goal. The glory of our children should be our father. So as fathers, that should be our goal, to be the glory of our children. And I know that we aren't all fathers and mothers. Where does that fit into us? I say that just really ties into any of us. We are to be the glory of our children, just like our children should aim to be the glory of us. They should aim to please us, and we should aim to please them. And I don't mean do this and do that for me. I mean our actions and our behavior. I went to a funeral this last week out of town, and they gave an opportunity to give witness to this gentleman's character. And I was amazed at how many people spoke about his servant attitude and his servant heart. And I thought, I was expressing to Eric a little earlier today, I thought about going up there, but I didn't know the guy, didn't know him well. I was representing our church, and it's actually the Saturday church that we share our building with at Ground Zero, that has been here for many years. And he was a great servant, so I just went to represent our church and pass on our condolences. But what I wanted to tell him was, sometimes we are showing our witness and we don't realize we have an audience. And we've heard that before. I've spoke about it before. Eric's talked about it before. We're not aware we have an audience, but we should live our life as though we have an audience. And I'm not talking about putting on a performance. Some people do very well at that. I put on a performance here at church where I have an audience, but then out here in the rest of the world, I act and behave this way. I've said this before, but I have to be careful because I have a coworker that's here now and a member of our church. So, but I try to be a witness the same I am. I'm trying to witness the same way at church as I do at home, as I do at work. And I don't always pass. I'll be the first to tell you. You guys came to church. I said, oh, man, congratulations. You're looking for a church. Let me be the first to tell you we're not perfect and we don't have it figured out, but we're trying and we're in this together and we want to do it together. Amen? That's just me telling you guys that I'm not perfect, and I think you all know that. I didn't need to say it, but I'm just throwing that out there. A little Father's Day bonus for you in case you didn't know and someone had to point it out. But before we get into 1 Timothy, what about last week? Last week's message. I got text messages. I got personal comments. I got phone calls about what in the world happened during service there. And at the end of service, when we had an opportunity to just come up and pray. And we talked about preparing the field. I just told that brief little story about our getting ready for the conference that we had here, whether there were a lot of people or not. And told a story about the two people, both prayed, but only one was out preparing their field. And God keeps telling me, we have to prepare the field. If we want to teach young people, if we want to teach older people, if we want to teach someone in their 50s that's never known Christ before, we have to have teachers that know where to go and know what they're talking about. We have to prepare our field. And then as we prayed, and as I closed last week, I said, guys, it is raining outside. Both prayed for rain, but only one prepared their field to receive the rain. And God will send it in His time. That rain doesn't just happen as we happen to come together and pray. And as we talk about preparing our field, I believe that was a sign from God saying, we have to prepare. And if we'll be obedient and do what God's asking us to do, I think He'll send in the blessing. He'll send in the increase to us, to the congregation, whatever it is in our lives. So today, honoring your father. We already talked about you may be without a father. And Kisha, you just mentioned that you lost your stepfather this past week. And there's many of you that may not have your fathers. You may not have been raised by your father. It may have been a relative or a stepfather. And that role is no less important. I've told the story before again that one of the greatest things I can do is tell people that I am Spencer Holt's stepfather. And I'm going to say, Brittany Holt, she's married now, my daughter, Brittany. And they said, I didn't know you were their stepdad. I thought you were their father. And I thought, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't want that separation there. And God doesn't want that separation either. He doesn't want us trying to make a distinction in there. The best thing I can do is be the father of my three children. While honoring the fact that they have a father. But I am the father role in their life in raising them and bringing them up. My daughter, when I ran this morning, she said, how many times did you cry? Only twice. Half if you count the pain. 2.5 times if you count the pain. But only twice as I remembered my father. And as I remembered my children who aren't with me today. Just that they're traveling and they're gone. And I remembered my wife. And I thought, I don't want to do this alone. And that's what it's like. When we're out there trying to do things on our own. Sometimes you got to do it on your own. But God wants us to have fellowship with one another. There's four representations in the office in there of men that mean something to me in my life. One is Jesus. I have crosses hanging in there. One is of my father. Actually two now of my father. Who gave me the witness of a life that I should lead. And I drifted from that for a while, but I came back to it. And one is a picture of Eric and I together. That's a man that opened doors for me. Maybe I could do what I do. I don't know. I certainly wasn't going to do it alone. Eric said, let's do this. I'm in. Let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. Let's go. I'm in. And then one is Dr. Jeff Johnson, who did our ordination service for Eric and I. And those men mean something to me in my life, and they're father figures to me. Eric, you're not like a dad in age-wise or whatever, but I mean, you're a mentor in my life, a male figure role model is what I'm talking about in my life. That means a lot. And I want to read today about what does God want us to do with our life? How can we honor Him? And so when we talk about honoring your father, we're talking about women, young people, old people, people that may or may not be fathers themselves. We're talking about honoring our Father. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. But here's what I want us to get out of this. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It's pretty plain and simple. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, this doesn't mean that we just lay down and we never say anything. It means that when we have a difference, we do it peaceably. The Bible in Matthew says, blessed is a peacemaker. Many times he talks about being peace. God is love, but he desires that we lead a peaceable life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to read that one more time, because I like to emphasize those things. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So the first thing that we do in honoring our Father is lead a peaceable life. A quiet and peaceable life, because it's good and acceptable to God. And God, it goes on to say in verse 4, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Men, we talked several weeks ago about how we should treat women, be it our spouse, our mothers, our sisters, women in general. Remember, there was some thunder outside. Surely you remember that. I thought, better take heed, gentlemen, when something is said out of the Bible and it's followed by thunder. And as men, oftentimes we try and lead this macho life. You know, good grief, I can't keep from crying when I think about my children and my father, my mother, my wife, whatever. Eric and I, we never cry, right? Never. Lord, we go through boxes of tissues a year just on us. But God says, I want you to just be quiet and peaceable. And I want you to have that soft heart. I desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Apostle. God desires for us to tell other people about it. And we talked in King's Kids a couple weeks ago about believing. Merely saying something doesn't mean you believe it. Adam is a millionaire. Not so. Just because you say it doesn't mean you believe it. And God calls us when we call on His name. And listen carefully, because you may have said words before, but if you did not mean it in your heart, that doesn't mean anything. You can say Adam's a millionaire all day long, and I'll let you know as soon as I am, but it doesn't mean anything just because you say it. And I want you to listen carefully. If you've said words before, maybe you've said the sinner's prayer. This is not a format or a quote. But it's accepting Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you of your sins. But if you did not believe that in your heart, then it doesn't mean anything. And you may be surprised when that day comes that we're called home. Because your home may be another direction. And we have to be sure as we are preparing our field that we teach that and we tell you that. We tell our kids that. But adults have done the same thing. Many adults thought, well, I said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You said it. Did you believe it? Did you mean it? Did you feel it? Did you understand it? And it's not just about feeling, but I'm talking about, did you feel that in your heart? And God's Word said, I'm going to take that stony heart, that stony flesh, and I'm going to replace that. Remember, He said that to Saul. He said, I'm going to take that stony heart of yours, and I'm going to replace it with flesh. And there's a lot of rock out there, and out there, I mean, it could be here, but I'm talking about out there in the world. And it's our job to help soften it and to soften our own hearts in the meantime. God desires for us to honor Him by being quiet. But God desires for us to honor Him by doing the things that please Him. What pleases Him? Read His Word. And I'm not saying that'll please Him. It will. But it tells us in His Word what pleases God. This is just one example. I'm touching on it very briefly today. My message is short today. I want you guys to enjoy the day. I want you to go do things with your fathers today. And we're not at the end yet, but everyone's getting excited, packing their bags and zipping their purse and ready to go. Got their keys out already. So God tells us in Matthew, when He first goes after the disciples, God says, here's what I want you to do. When He goes after the disciples, what is He telling me? He wants them to be fishers of men. In the beginning, as He searches out the disciples, I want you to be fishers of men. He desires for us to go after men. He desires for us to lead quiet and peaceable lives. Then He says, go be fishers of men. And then at the very end of Matthew, what does He tell us to do with those men that we find? The Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So He desires also for us to honor Him by going after men, being fishers of men. And then when we find them, teach them, train them. Hold them accountable. Go after men. He tells us when the lost sheep are there. What are we to do when the lost sheep are out there? Thank you. Go find them. Be fishers of men. When the sheep are lost, go out and find them. We talked a couple weeks ago about that. We are to go find them. We are to call them and find out what's going on. I am excited. I've called a couple people that have been here over the last several years just to find out how they are and where they are. And I'm always satisfied when I can get hold of them and they say, we're attending this church or that church or whatever. Praise God. Okay. Because I was going to tell you, if you don't have a church body, you need to connect back up. And there's people that used to come here and other churches, of course, that aren't here and they're connected to nothing. We're to be fishers of men. We're to go out and find the lost sheep. These things honor your Father. And they honor your Father in heaven. As Anna prayed for the fatherless. Again, I can't help but think about the fatherless out there. And again, some that may have had troublesome times with their parents. Or their fathers. Or even their stepfathers. Or their grandfathers. Or whatever it was that may have been raising them. But God says, I will adopt you. You will be my children. I will count you in my fold. And when you're lost, I'm going to go looking for you. And I'm going to send somebody to find you. He tells us we will be heirs. Usually you're not an heir unless you're in the family. and He has adopted us sons and daughters to be a part of His family. Amen? When we go out looking for the lost, when we go out fishing for men, then we need to know what we're going to tell them. We have to prepare our field for what we're going to tell them when we find them. Hey, I caught this fish. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. I guess throw it back. I don't know how to cook it. I don't know. You know, here. What will we do when we find them? Hey, I found this lost dog. What are you going to do with it? Can we keep it? No. I don't know. I guess I'll just fling it back out there and throw it out there for someone else to find. Or worse yet, get destroyed. Get destroyed by the enemy. We have to decide, do we want to find people? Do we want to put forth the effort to go out and search people out? It's a lot of work. For some. Some say, hey, it's easy work. But it's a lot of work to go out looking for the lost. Emotionally, it's a lot. It's draining. When you find them, you don't know what condition they are in. Way back in the day, we lost our dog, Lucky, and Lucky was a bull mastiff, big dog. Most of you know that have been around for any length of time. And Lucky was lost, and I figured just gone or dead or whatever. Not the second time when she was gone permanently, but the first time. And someone called 2 weeks later, said, hey, we got your dog. Oh my gosh, where are you? Well, we're right down here at 10th and Anderson. Are you kidding me? That's half a mile from my house. It's just down the street and turn left to the stop sign. Sometimes they're right in their own backyard, wandering around lost. But when we found her, the condition she was in, she had lost several pounds, 20-some pounds, something like that, or right around 20 pounds. She was sick. She hadn't eaten. And when we find lost people, a lot of times they're in that condition as well. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. Sometimes it takes money to bring them back to health. But it takes a commitment. Are they worth it? Are they not? And we're talking about pets and people. I understand there's a difference for some. For others, there's not a difference at all. It's all the same. But some people say, it costs how much to fix that animal? No, I have to just do whatever. And other people say, it all costs fixing. Fix my dog, my cat, my whatever it is. Fix my goldfish's fin. I don't know. But with people, we have a bigger... Sorry. With people, we have a bigger commitment. I'm sorry. I say something that tickles someone and I happen to look over and they're laughing at me. And oh, Lordy. This is the day, right? yep. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it today. But I don't mean to make light of people and what we need to do with them. Those lives matter. The young lives, the teenagers at ground zero. The young adults. The older adults. Where have they gone? Why did they leave? I can tell you why I left the church years ago. Well, I didn't leave the church. I just never came back in it. I don't know. That's leaving the church. But we don't know. Each person is different. So when we honor the Father, when we honor your Father, and in here today as believers in Christ, if you are, then we're talking about honoring your Father in heaven. And we're talking about being quiet and peaceable men. We're talking about being fishers of men in Matthew. And then we're talking about going out and making disciples. That doesn't mean you're making people that can just quote every scripture. It doesn't mean that you're making people that know how to defend this, although they need to know how. But it's teaching them about the word and what that means. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch. What are you reading there? Well, I'm just reading what I have here. You know? Well, do you know what it means? This is all I got. It's hard to get what the Bible means when you have just this little bitty section. And Philip said, let me just spend time with you and tell you about him. And afterwards he said, I believe. Can I be baptized? They went down the road a little ways, found some water, and said, yeah, absolutely. We have to teach them about Jesus. Main point, what did he do? Remember several weeks ago, and I quit asking after several weeks, why are you here? And that's kind of what we need to tell other people when we talk about making disciples. Why are you here? Well, let me tell you the story about Jesus and what he did for you. Why did Jesus come for you? We're going to close a very simple message today about honoring your father, being peaceable and quiet, men and women. We're talking about honoring your father in heaven by being fishers of men, by making disciples, by looking for the lost. And that's not just for fathers. That's for us to honor our Father in heaven. Everybody's got a father out there. Everybody's had a father. You know the old saying, anyone can be a father, it takes a special person to be a dad. Probably also my favorite Father's Day card I ever got from my stepchildren. And you rarely hear me say stepchildren because I don't like to make that distinction because they're just my children. I cried quite a long time when I got that card. Today, no matter where you are with your father, your heavenly father, your earthly father, whatever, God says, man, I'm here and I'm not going to leave you. I don't know how you've been treated by the others here on earth, but I'm going to treat you differently. Oh, by the way, Proverbs also says those who he loves, he disciplines. When your heavenly father disciplines you or disciplined you in the proper manner, it's because he loves you. And our Father in heaven is going to do the same thing to us. Let's bow our heads as we close today. Heavenly Father, we just want to honor you today. As we talk about Father's Day, there's no greater father than you. You know the pain and the agony of giving up your son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that was. You understand the pain that we have been through here on earth with our heavenly fathers or our earthly fathers. Those that lost their fathers, those that have fathers that may not have been the greatest role models, may have been abusive in some situations, emotionally, physically. God, we know those things displease you. But today we want to do the things that honor you. Just very simple, to live quiet and peaceable lives. To be fishers of men, to make disciples, to read your word so we can understand the things that do please you and what displeases you. There's so many things we could talk about today, Lord, but I want to keep it simple, to be quiet and peaceable as leaders, as followers of Jesus Christ. Because it says those things please you. They're good and acceptable in your sight. God, I ask that we continue to keep focused on preparing the field for rain, for the increase, not just praying for it, but preparing for it. Lord, whatever we do, that we don't just pray for it, but we prepare for an outcome of expectancy. And Father, finally, we ask for those hearts that may be hurting or broken today because of fathers. Lord, that you would put your Band-Aid over that. You would heal those hearts. You would soften the wound. You would lessen the pain. God, just guide our paths as we go out this week. As we talk about weekly, Lord, just to guide our footsteps, guide our mouth, guard our tongue, Lord. Keep us from saying things that displease and dishonor you, that offend others. Let us speak the truth, but let us do it with a spirit of love and gentleness. And let your word direct our paths and our outcomes. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you are a visitor with us today, I'd like to meet you right down here after service. Let's have a great Father's Day. Let's have a great day anyway. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night for Bible study. Thank you.